T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Molly and Hanley, the Bears have made their move. Allen Robinson signs with the Bears, reported 3-year, $42 million deal with $25 million guaranteed. And let's get down to Jacksonville. We'll bring in our friend Rick Ballew, 1010 XL sports host, and of course the Jags sideline reporter on the radio station. Rick, how are you, bud?
I'm doing great. And, you know, it's a Chicago morning here. It's 46 degrees in Jacksonville. And I'm just upset that Allen Robinson didn't call me and ask how great Chicago is after I spent 7 years there. I'm kind of hurt.
What? How good is this kid? I mean, you know, the knee injury interrupts the career. We saw one unbelievable year from him in a couple of one okay year and one decent year. But I don't know. What do you make of his high end here?
Well, you know, that is the great unknown. He did phenomenal things in 1 year. A lot of that was done. I actually was surprised to see that the touchdowns, only two of his touchdowns career-wise, were when the Jaguars were down by 14 points or more. So that surprised me. I mean, that same year, Blake Bortles got a ton of credit for, you know, putting up garbage yards and really advancing the ball when the team was down by two or three scores. And I figured the year that Robinson had the 14 touchdowns and 1,400 yards receiving, that would be in the same category. But again, only two of those touchdowns when they were really trailing. So, I mean, he can do it all. He's got surprising speed. He's got good moves. His hands were an issue in 2016 before the injury a year ago. And he's got a really good attitude. I mean, I think around here they kept showing that during a scrimmage in August against Tampa where Bortles threw a ball that went over his head out of bounds. He got upset about it. You guys know from being down there, that stuff happens all the time, nearly every single play in 100-degree temperature. So, you know, I think that he's been really good, but this guy has a chance to be something very special if the knee is okay.
Rick, was it simply what was the reason that Jacksonville didn't try to go the extra mile and keep him there in terms of tagging him? Or was it the injury? Was there something else going on and just couldn't afford him?
You know what? We don't have an answer to that as of right now. They're very tight-lipped. That's the difference between, you know, the Gus Bradley era and now with Doug Marrone and Tom Coughlin. You're going to have a very difficult time getting that answer until it comes from Robinson's side. But I believe it's one of three things. Either they don't think the knee is where it's supposed to be, and obviously Chicago physically has cleared him, so think what you want about that. The other option would be is that he's not a Tom Coughlin guy. He was a David Caldwell guy. And, you know, here's someone who's asking for a ton of money. Does Tom Coughlin think that he can get the same production or close to the same production by going back out into free agency now and finding another wide receiver? I mean, there's been some talk that Sammy Watkins could be coming to Jacksonville, and Doug Marrone drafted Sammy Watkins a few years back in Buffalo. The third would be, is he not totally on board with Blake Bortles? There was some decisiveness in 2016, and until things really took a turn for the better here in Jacksonville, you could sense that with some defensive players. I never really saw it with any offensive players, but one of the school of thought here would be, is Allen Robinson not totally sold on the fact that Blake Bortles is the guy to take this football team to the promised land? And if he's not a part of that thinking, then I believe that is an option to consider as well, that maybe they just said, now let's get someone else who believes in number five, that being Blake Bortles.
Why did Bortles come back? Were you not surprised? I mean, every report I read was that they were going to upgrade the quarterback position, and then they moved immediately and brought him back.
Yeah, you know, it depends on who you talk with there. he did some nice things this year. He didn't turn the ball over. You know, I still think with Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone, they would like to run the ball. And I know that the statistics a year ago will tell you that they led the NFL in rushing, but, you know, they had some fake punts in there. The last seven games, Leonard Fournette only went over 100 yards in one game. I think that they're going to really try to address left guard, get stronger than offensive line, and become, you know, an even better running team. And I think one of the reasons why there was a lot of support for Bortles last year was look at who he was throwing to. I mean, A-Rob was out. Allen Hurns was out. You had Marquise Lee. And then you had two rookies, D.D. Westbrook, who missed the first eight games, as well as Keelan Cole. And, you know, it kind of contradicts itself because the thinking is get Blake Bortles better weapons and he will become a better quarterback. But then on the same side, you had a guy like Allen Robinson, who you drafted, leave town. So I wouldn't say everyone here in Jacksonville was thrilled that Blake Bortles is coming back. I think it's a little bit more of the fact that they trust Tom Coughlin and Dave Caldwell right now to make the right moves.
You mentioned at one point there was an issue with his hands. Has that been – the numbers would say – would seemingly say that's not an issue any longer. Is that accurate?
Not all his fault, too. A lot of those balls were behind him. A lot of those balls were not in the position where they were supposed to be. He did have his share of drops. A few were right there that he absolutely should have had. That didn't really come into play at all. You know, the season that, you know, he had 1,400 yards and 14 touches. It was the year after, which was not a good season overall for Blake Bortles. So, for Allen Robinson. So, you know, he had an unbelievable camp. I mean, watching him, we went to Foxborough for 4 days and watched him against the Patriots, and then here against Tampa Bay, practicing against those two teams, as well as, you know, throughout the month of August and in the preseason games. He went down so early in week one. I don't think that is going to be an issue for him as far as the hands. But in his last healthy season here in Jacksonville, he did have some drops.
He's Rick Ballew, 1010 XL Sports, the Jags sideline reporter, and giving us a scouting report on Allen Robinson. You know, they didn't tag him. They could have tagged him if they wanted to. They could have even given him a transition tag, although I'm sure people would have come in and tried to make a move on him anyway. As popular as he was on the free agent market, and he's offered immediately, and we heard rumors of everybody going after him, what is their thinking in terms of, you know, you mentioned they didn't have the weaponry. They want to run the ball more? I mean, they clearly need a receiver to replace the receiver. It's just kind of weird.
Well, it is weird because I don't think you can address it early in the draft. I mean, if you do, you're talking about a rookie and then two second-year guys as your top three players. Allen Hurns is a possession receiver who's been injured. He's scheduled to make $7 million. The word around here is that there's no way he's going to get that money. So does he give Jacksonville a hometown discount? Will they restructure that contract for him? If not, I wouldn't be surprised at all if you see that he is released any moment now. So, you know, there's an opportunity that could happen. Marquise Lee is a guy who has done some nice things for the Jaguars. He was hurt so much early in his career. But he has played in 31 of the last 33 games, albeit he seems to be on the injury report, you know, basically weekly there for Marquise Lee. So, you know, they have to make a move here, whether they go out and, you know, go after a guy like Richardson, whether they go after Sammy Watkins. I don't know where else they can go. Their hands are tied here just a little bit. I mean, there are going to be other receivers who are released. You know, we saw a couple yesterday, but I don't, no one in town has an answer for you. That's why when the talks became known that they were not going to franchise tag Allen Robinson, most people around here were shocked, including myself. I figured all along that they would lose their nickelback Aaron Colvin, they would lose Marquise Lee, but they would absolutely do whatever it took to bring back Allen Robinson.
We'll let you go, Rick. Just his personality. I mean, does that come into play if he has an issue with the quarterback and, you know, Coughlin doesn't like that? I don't know.
I love the kid. Yeah. I absolutely love him. I think he's phenomenal. I like everything about him. Again, it was a one incident, and you can probably YouTube it and find out what I'm talking about. And when you see it, your reaction, I bet, is that's no different from what I've seen on the practice field a thousand times. It's just I don't know if it was the was it the Hard Knock scammers that were on him or whatever it was, and it really magnified the issue for him a year ago. But no, I don't agree with that at all. Whether or not he was sold on Bortles, I don't have the answer for that question. But as far as his personality and how he is as a young man, he's an A-plus kid, man. I like him an awful lot.
Great to hear.
All righty, Rick. Thanks, buddy. Great catching up with you.
See you, guys. Have a great one.
Thanks, Rick.
That's Rick Ballew. He, of course, 1010 XL Sports host, JAG sideline reporter. And, Sammy Watkins apparently is going to Kansas City. That at least is what's being reported. I think there was a report on it. It hasn't been confirmed yet, so it's not necessarily solid. But, whatever happened down there, the kid got out the minute he could.
When Rick's telling you, everyone's speculating because you don't know for sure, but here's your possibilities, you know.
Right. Here's three things.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. There is an old Chinese proverb which says, may you live in interesting times. And certainly it applies here. The Bears making their move, going out and getting a player, responding to the wide receiver position. And finally, I guess, is the only way to look at it. I mean, the key word today, if you take a word away, the key word is playmaker. Bears need playmakers. Allen Robinson has been a playmaker. The guy has been injured. Yes, he's had the knee injury, but he's also caught touchdown passes. And, you know, Brian, when you go back and you look at different statistics, the one that obviously jumps out in relation to the Bears has been this idea that if they indeed changed the pass interference rule to the college rule where you didn't get the ball where it was, they took a look at everybody, the yardage. I think the Bears were 28th in the 32-team NFL. They'd have lost 6 yards. The Bears don't get the ball downfield. The Bears don't get the ball to people that break the ball downfield, right? So they're not throwing deep enough, and they're not able to get run after catch. They're not able to get enough yak, if you will, to really manage their offense. And presumably now you're going from John Fox and Dowell Logan's now. And, you know, we heard what the running back had to say about that in the offseason, Jordan Howard saying that it was the most predictable.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a word you want with your offense. Now you're going to a guy that that was in the meeting rooms and in the offices in Kansas City, and managed to call plays for 8 games. And Doug Peterson was one of the guys that he worked with, and we saw Doug Peterson. I mean, do we go so far as to say that what Philadelphia did on offense this year revolutionizes the NFL? Is that taking it way over the top?
Well, and you know it's a copycat league.
What we do.
At least in the immediate, it's a blueprint for how you get things done.
I mean, you know, riverboat gambling, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is fourth down. Is it a gamble? Is it not a gamble?
Here you go. Here's the trick play at the goal line.
There is a boldness to what he did that presumably came not just from his ability as an offensive guy himself, but being in Kansas City working this stuff out. We've talked about their offense. These guys are play callers, right? And so to prove the point, Matt Nagy goes out and hires a guy that was in college, that was actually broadcasting college games, that made a reputation for himself running that pace offense is what you'd call it, I suppose. Not Ryan Pace, but pace of play offense in Oregon. A lot of
hurry up
stuff, a lot of big time
spread
it out kind of plays that will create big plays in your offense.
Get the defense on its heels.
You know, you got a group of guys now in Chicago that are going to be in the room, that are going to be putting up plays, drawing plays. Again, you know, I don't know that Helfrich knows the offense that he's going to be the offensive coordinator of, but he knows plays.
Yeah.
So he got plays, and I got a play.
And Nagy said, you know, when they got in the room with Andy Reid, everyone had, you got a play? Yep, let's hear about it. Like, everyone, it was collaboration. Throw it up against her, and let's see what everyone thinks about it. And so, you know, here we got texters saying, for all those concerned about the ACL, Sammy Watkins has had more than one injury. So, you know, both guys have a history there. Obviously, Allen Robinson, because he missed almost the entirety of last season, that's the one gives people pause because of what's gone on here with the wide receiver, in particular with Kevin White, that, you know, can the Bears really roll the dice on a guy coming off an ACL? And, you know, the answer is yes, because you had to get one of the two guys, and those were the two guys separating themselves from the rest of the field, Allen Robinson or Sammy Watkins. You had the money. You had to find a way to get one, and the good news is you got one with a little waste of time. So you found a match. He wanted to be here. You had the money to offer him, and you wanted him here. So Ryan Pace desperately needs to have a hit in free agency, and this one is going to be watched very closely.
And again, I think what, you know, the key to it is you got Trubisky, and you got to make sure that the quarterback has every weapon and every possibility to improve and be better. You brought in coaches that are quarterback whisperers, guys that have worked with quarterbacks before and helped create good players at the position. Now you got a receiver. You got a receiver that helps, you know, he goes to the top of the line, which means guys that were kind of out of position in terms of being a number one, number two,
are slotted closer maybe to
they,
their
maybe they go back
abilities.
To more or less their original position. And when you have a bunch of fours and fives, I don't even know that you had threes, Brian, last year. And that's being cruel. But maybe now that you do, maybe this is a really good opportunity to turn this thing around a little bit. And again, you know, a three-year deal. $42 million for a guy like Allen Robinson. He's back on the free agent market as he's in his prime. And that's got to be huge for him. And maybe you end up being able to make him stay here long term. Maybe he's using you as much as you're using him, and neither side cares. They're getting their share. Let's try the end is in Cicero. Boy, that's very forebidding, isn't it?
Oh, the Earl. Hey, come on.
Hey, Earl. The Earl.
The Earl. I beg your pardon.
The Ohio State.
Is this the Earl of Sandwich?
No.
No, that was Z-Pac.
No, the Earl of Sandwich is Freddy's Pizza in Cicero. How you guys doing? Hey, you know, I'm telling you, this is a perfect Pace pick. You get a guy that caught a pass last year, has got no lead knee ligament to go with our other receiver. It's got a 6-foot titanium rod in his leg.
See, this is a skeptic. This is a healthy skepticism.
This is a skeptic?
Yeah, this is.
Go ahead, Earl.
Now we need another receiver in a wheelchair. We'll have our receiving core.
Well,
the Pace, I don't know.
You're not alone, Earl.
A lot of money for this guy. You know, reminds me of Glennon a little bit. A lot of money for nothing.
See,
chicks for free.
Thanks to the Earl. The one thing about Glennon, he never had the numbers. Okay. The numbers, the resume, Ryan Pace manufactured Mike Glennon. He gave you this leap of faith that, you know, he just got put behind a quarterback there and never had an opportunity. And so watch what we do with Mike Glennon. So, you know, the numbers, at least for Allen Robinson, yeah, don't start again. with the resume, I mean, when healthy.
Please say that, Allen Robinson, at the press conference.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, see, no. But boy, the texters
and Dustin says that Keetana said the same thing.
Boy, the texters are like, who do you want? Who are you going to believe? Tom Coughlin's evaluation or Ryan Pace's evaluation?
Ooh.
See, I mean, this is where Bears fans are.
I think Dustin. I think he didn't hear Quintana right. He was saying, this is you year.
Oh, the hips are going, both of them right now, and the foot and whatever else is.
Let's get to Joe with the scoreboard update.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Is that Miley Cyrus? Is that what you're playing here?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah.
How's that for an endorsement?
All right. We're going to bring in Mike Florio, and we'll ask him how free agency is going. Is it moving faster than expected? Are there bargains out there yet, or do you have to kind of sit and wait? And How do the Bears make out? Allen Robinson going to be worth the $42 million, the $25 million guaranteed, the 3 years of investment before he hits the free agent market yet again? And, yeah, and is it Quintana's year? No, we won't ask him that. But we will talk to him about all things NFL. Mike Florio joins us next. Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. We love our chance to talk to Mike Florio. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Well, you know, we're all excited because the Bears have a player. They have a receiver. Oh, my goodness gracious. They don't have a core, but they have a guy. And Allen Robinson apparently willing to take their money. Huge news from Chicago.
Yeah, and it's 3 years, $42 million, which not bad for a guy who tore an ACL to start the 2017 season. I saw Ian Rappaport say roughly $25 million guaranteed. I guess that's cover in the event that it's not even close to $25 million guaranteed. And really, how do you properly determine an amount of guaranteed money for a guy that you can't even physically examine? You're relying upon whatever information is exchanged on paper between agent and team, but you can't actually have your doctor put hands on that knee and see him run and have him come to the facility and do all the things that you'd like to do ideally before you make this commitment. So there's an element of risk here, and that tells me that $25 million isn't going to be fully guaranteed, and there may be some physicals he needs to pass and hoops he needs to jump through before he gets that money. But when you look at the guy in 2015, 1,400 receiving yards, 14 touchdown passes. Now, that was 2015, rather. 2016, he tailed off, even though he started every game. I'd want to know why he dropped from 1,400 to south of 900 from 1 year to the next. But he's got the potential to be the number one target for Mitchell Trubisky, and it makes me wonder how many more guys they're going to add. And it's good news. Look, anytime you augment your roster when your team is not good with a guy who has played well, that's something to be excited about. But, you know, the Bears know a thing or two about receivers who are injured and can't live up to their potential, and the fear would be that Robinson is going to be the next one to join that list.
Well, that's the thing, Mike. I mean, for all the Bears fans who are optimistic and celebrating this news or cheering it, we do have a healthy amount of skeptics out there saying, well, you know, look at Kevin White. This is the 2018 version of getting another guy. You're not sure what you have here, but look, you have nobody here. And whatever you get out of Kevin White this year, if anything, is just going to be gravy, because at this point, I think expectations are not only lowered, they're just nil with Kevin White. So, I mean, you have to crawl before you can walk, and they had nothing but money, and they don't have as many draft picks as they need to address all their needs. So you had to get either this Allen Robinson or Watkins. You had to get one of these guys.
Yeah, and that's the problem. It wasn't a great receiving class, and it would have been even worse if Robinson had been tagged by the Jaguars or Watkins had been tagged by the Rams. So at least those guys were available. Not a lot of great receivers on the market, and that was an area of urgent need for the Bears. And you're right. Beyond Robinson, what else are you going to have? And it's hard to develop a young quarterback if you don't have guys who can create separation, guys who demand double coverage, guys who can score touchdowns for you in the red zone, and guys who otherwise make you look like a competent NFL quarterback.
Mike, I've been anxious to talk to you since the Cleveland Browns started their moves. They made some moves. They were wheeling and dealing. They still have a ton of picks at the top of the draft. What do you think of the difference in that team? Do you see a notable difference? Did they get a quarterback to get them through a year while they draft one? How do you view them?
Well, remember when John Dorsey, the new GM, created a fuss last year by saying that we don't have enough real football players? This was the move to get guys that he regards as real football players, starting with Jarvis Landry, I think a perfect AFC North receiver, a guy who reminds me a lot of a Hines Ward, that tough, you know, hit you in the mouth, whether it's a legal hit or not, and make the tough catches and get the tough yards. And I love the attitude that he brings to Cleveland. Tyrod Taylor, I think he's a short-term stopgap while they groom a rookie. I think they're destined to take a quarterback with the first or the fourth overall pick. And we'll see where they go from here. But it's a new day. You can't get any worse than 0-16. And it'll be interesting to see what the Browns do by way of filling out the spots elsewhere on the roster. And who are the guys that John Dorsey believes are real football players? And what else will he do? So I think that it's fascinating. And again, you can't get any worse when you haven't won a single game and you've only won one in two seasons.
What's fascinating too is that it marks part of the quarterback movement in this league. You know, the Bears are happy to have Mitchell Trubisky and they're not looking for a starter, but my goodness gracious, everybody, Case Keenum going down to going up to Denver, I guess you'd say. What the heck does Minnesota do? Is Drew Brees in play?
Well, Drew Brees now. Apparently, Drew has a two-year, $50 million deal. Which, look, that's not much. When Jimmy Garoppolo, who has seven career starts, gets 27.5, and a first ballot Hall of Famer gets 25, right? That's not nearly enough. And you know why that happened? Because whatever leverage he had, he wasn't willing to use. Right? So, if you're a free agent, but you're not willing to leave, if you're not willing to take advantage of your freedom, you're not going to get the best deal you can get. And I don't know what anyone else would have paid, but even if the Vikings do $30 million, for example, that's only a $5 million gap, and that wouldn't have been enough to get Brees to leave.
You know, as we look at this movement, and there's also another report, Albert Wilson, who was supposed to be heading to Chicago, at least Brett Veach made it sound like, well, he loves Matt Nagy, Nagy knows him, certain that's a marriage made in Kansas City. Well, now he's staying, looks like Miami's got him 3 years, $24 million. But back to the quarterback carousel, Keenum is the first guy off the board, and as much as I'm fascinated by Kirk Cousins, do I really need his version of Hard Knocks documenting his free agency? But what does Minnesota do? Is Teddy Bridgewater back in play here, or what's going to happen?
Well, look, I think Kirk Cousins is still the play, and we heard yesterday that it was the Vikings and the Jets who were the primary suitors for Kirk Cousins. So the Broncos making the move for Keenum tells me the Broncos were never serious about paying market value, and John Elway doesn't like paying market value to anyone. John Elway can't help the team during the season. In the offseason, he helps the team by being very shrewd at the bargaining table and getting the best possible deal. So he's not going to overpay for Cousins. He pays less for Keenum. And the fact that Keenum's numbers didn't come out last night tells me that maybe it's not a great deal. So the Vikings, Cousins, I think is plan A. But then where do you go from there? Brees was never in the picture. Keenum, I don't think the Vikings were ever serious about. Do they make a play for A.J. McCarron? I don't know that that excites anyone. Do they keep Bridgewater or Sam Bradford? Both guys have knee problems. Do they make a trade for Nick Foles? Right? So I don't know what the Vikings do, but they better figure something out, because if they don't get Cousins, they're going to have a problem.
And isn't Arizona in play? I know we talk about the Jets, and that was their number one priority, but the Vikings seem more win ready, and meanwhile he's got a sister who lives in Arizona.
Who's making these decisions based upon where their sister lives? And if you're making enough money, you know what you do? You buy your sister a house in your new city. That's what you do.
Well, would you rather live in Arizona or Minnesota? That's another. Well, I mean, he's got a family.
Yeah, but the question is, are you trying to win?
Right.
Yeah. And we interviewed Kirk Cousins at the Super Bowl, and he was trying to walk this very fine line between do I maximize my income? Do I take less to play for a winner? And oh, by the way, plenty of winners pay their quarterbacks a lot of money. And he rattled off some guys like Ben Roethlisberger. Well, he's getting down toward the middle of the pack because all these other deals are better and better. How big is the gap between whatever the Jets would offer and what the Vikings would offer? And I personally think that the window is between 27.6, which would put him $100,000 a year ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo, and $30 million. And I think the Jets are going to be at 30, and the Vikings are going to be at 27.6. And he has to ask himself, which one do I want?
What's going on in Green Bay? Are they now going to be more active? You know, they were rumored to be in on Allen Robinson, and Ted Thompson always did it through the draft, didn't want to write checks to free agents. And I don't know if Jordy Nelson's on the way out, but it seems like they're looking for help for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and the good news is this. I mean, they're at least in the store. Right, they inquired and talked about Allen Robinson. They talked about Sammy Watkins. They're talking to Jimmy Graham. Ted Thompson used to be the guy who sat in his car and never walked through the door to the grocery store. Brian Gutekunst is browsing, at least. Now, whether or not he spends, we'll see. But this is a team, Reggie White, Charles Woodson, Julius Peppers, and Martellus Bennett. That's it since free agency became a real thing in 1993. And I think Gutekunst is at least exploring the possibility of getting active. And I think there's going to be an interesting byproduct to this because they've already signed Davante Adams to a $14.5 million deal. If they would sign Jimmy Graham or another receiver, does that put both Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson in jeopardy? That's something to keep an eye on. But it could be that the Packers are inching toward, you know, this movement away from stubborn adherence to the guys that you drafted and developed and maybe spending money to bring in some strangers to the program who can make the team better.
There was information around the Bears, the idea that they're giving low tenders to Josh Bellamy. Yeah, so what? Bryce Callahan. Cam Meredith, I guess, would be the one. Cameron Meredith. But, you know, the guy's coming off an ACL, an MCL. I mean, what's wrong with that? It's a $1 million difference. I can't believe anybody would be upset about that.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing. I mean, knees aren't like they used to be where they would recognize career. And teams are more willing to take the risk that a guy's going to be okay. And, you know, maybe that's true, you know, but for every Adrian Peterson who was better after a torn ACL, it seems, yep, there's always a guy you can point to and say he was never the same guy after that.
Some people are trying to connect Jimmy Graham to Ryan Pace. Are you a Graham fan at this point in his career? Does it make sense here at all?
Oh, I think he makes plenty of sense if you know how to use him. I thought it was funny how when the Seahawks signed him and he wasn't immediately making a difference, people were saying, well, boy, he's a horrible blocker. Well, of course he is. He's not a blocking tight end. He's a pass-catching tight end. And if you're not using him in the red zone, remember they traded for him after the Super Bowl 49 debacle, which means you have a more viable option to throw the ball high and away from Malcolm Butler if you get in that position again. The Seahawks just never used him the way that they should. And I think a team that is able and willing to use him the right way is the team that should be after him. The Saints have been linked to him, the Packers, you know, the Ryan Pace connection, maybe there's something there. But somebody is going to pounce on Jimmy Graham because if you use him the right way, he can be a great addition to any offense.
Mike, thanks a ton. Always a joy. Appreciate your time.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
That is Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and, of course, NBC Sports. Always enjoy talking to Mike. He's got a ton of information, and we want to thank everyone that tuned into the show today. We certainly appreciate all of your calls and texts and emails, but most of all, thank you for listening. That simple listen is
boy, this sure isn't baseball free agency. Isn't this a nice change of pace? We'll be back bright and early.
Stuff happening. Yeah, money being spent. Yeah. I like it.
We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning, live at 5. Please join us.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.